Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me here today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you've missed any past episodes of Live by Every Word, you can go back and find those. Those are online at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm, wherever you like to get your podcasts. And that goes for all of the programming that is here on Trumpet Radio. How much have you heard about the Feast of Unleavened Bread? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, that sounds a little bit different if you haven't heard about that before. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, and that's free at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for that. It says, the Passover, the first of God's annual festivals, pictures only the beginning, the very first step of God's great master plan of salvation for mankind. It was Jesus Christ, our Passover, who suffered and died for our sins. But accepting Christ's sacrifice to pay for our sins is not enough. It's not enough just to have Christ be the sacrifice for our sins and our accepting of that sacrifice. That's not enough. There's more. The course continues and says, once we have repented of our sins and been forgiven by God, we must forsake sin. We have to forsake sin. That means we have to stop sinning and get away from it. Let's look at an example of forsaking sin. And we find this in Hebrews 11. We do have a few passages today, so if you have a Bible handy, please get that out and we can take a look at these together. Hebrews 11. Now, Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter. These great men and women of the Bible that had faith in God, they believed Him, and they obeyed Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 24 talks about Moses. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And so Moses made a decision here based upon faith in God's word. It says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Recompense means a return for something done, suffered, or given. And so this is a type of coming out of sin. Egypt is a type of sin. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. And so there is a temporary pleasure in sin. You know, there was a temporary pleasure there in Egypt and the things of Egypt. But sin leads to suffering and ultimately death. And yet, look at what is offered to those who forsake sin. See, look at the reward. Moses saw that future reward. Yes, Egypt was enticing, you know, particularly Egypt of that time, very enticing. But he wanted that reward that God had to offer. He did not want the death that comes from sin. He was looking at that reward. Now, Egypt is a type of sin that we must come out of. Moses forsook Egypt. And we understand that. When we talk about that history, I think we all understand what that means. He forsook it. I mean, and eventually he left. And then came back, and you know the history there, to be used by God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But he forsook it. He was gone. And he had to get out of there, of course, because of some difficulties. But he left. He didn't hang around it. He was gone. He was in the wilderness. And so when we forsake sin, we have to get away from it. We have to be gone from it and be living differently. Notice this passage in Revelation 18 and verse 4, a very specific command to God's people. Revelation 18 and verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." We do have to come out of this world. We have to come out of the sin that is in this world. And we have to be working to put all sin away from us, all sin. And so this has everything to do with the days of unleavened bread. The Bible Correspondence Course says, "To help keep us in the knowledge of the second step in God's plan, Christ gave his church the second annual feast. The observance of this feast impresses upon us that we must strive not to return to the sins Jesus paid for with his shed blood." You know, it's an amazing sacrifice that Christ made for us and the Father made for us in allowing that. The ultimate sacrifice. But what good is it if we just go right back and just sin and sin and sin? Now, of course, it takes time to repent and to change, and God's merciful and he understands that. But change is expected. We do have to forsake sin. We have to get away from it. Notice the command here in Exodus 12. Exodus 12, verses 14 through 17. Notice this command about this festival. It says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Eternal throughout your generations." So this is something that goes on and on. It says, "You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." So here's this awesome, awesome holy day that God has given to us, this awesome festival, the days of unleavened bread. And it's to be kept forever. It's to be kept forever. We read that there. An ordinance forever. The first day there's a holy convocation. It's a high day, a holy day. And the last day, that seventh day, that's a holy day as well. The first day of unleavened bread and the last day of unleavened bread. Those are holy days. And all 7 days, no leavening shall be eaten or found in the homes. But unleavened bread must be eaten. Why is this? What does this mean? It seems strange if you're not familiar with it. But there's very specific meaning, and it has everything to do with putting sin out of our lives. The Correspondence Course says, "Notice that the Feast of Unleavened Bread was given by God before the people reached Mount Sinai, before they even left the land of Egypt. Like Passover, it was also to be kept by all their succeeding generations forever." So this was given before the Old Covenant was established. This holy day, these holy days of God, and they are to be kept, kept today as well. Notice Exodus 12 and verse 15. It gives us the specifics here a little more. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And so God is very specific about when his holy days are to be kept, how long each lasts, what we are to do on those days, and what they mean. And we need to be specific in how we follow God's instructions. 7 days shall we eat unleavened bread. And you can notice also Exodus 12 and verse 16, the next verse, "And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. So again, that's when the holy days are within that festival of unleavened bread. It's the first day is a high day, a high holy day, and that seventh day is also a holy day where God's people meet, where God places his name, and they learn more about these days. The correspondence course says, at this point, it would be well to distinguish between God's annual festivals or feasts and his annual holy days or Sabbaths. So this is a very interesting point to note. It says God's master plan includes seven annual festivals. There are also seven annual holy days, which are Sabbaths of rest from regular work. Each of these occurs on or during a festival. And so as we've been talking about, the Feast of Unleavened Bread has two, the first day of Unleavened Bread and the last day. But the Passover, the first of the festivals, is not a holy day or Sabbath. So there are some specific rules here, and you can learn more about that by looking at the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, or we've got other literature at thetrumpet.com that explains more about God's holy days. So it's an important point to notice. You can read in Exodus 12, verses 15 through 19, how God commanded the Israelites to put all leaven and leavened food out of their homes and off of their property. It's not enough to take the leavening and just say, put it in the drawer for a week. It has to be gotten rid of. Because again, it's picturing sin, as we'll see. That leavening is picturing sin. It's not enough to hide it for a week. We have to get rid of it. We have to get rid of it. Now, this command could seem pretty arbitrary, but it has deep meaning spiritually. There's a very specific reason that God has his people keep these holy days. Very specific reason. And let's look at this in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. Again, getting a little more into the spiritual meaning here. It says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Leaven is symbolic of sin. And on the days of unleavened bread, we're told to get rid of it. God wants us to put sin out of our lives. That's the spiritual intent. At Passover, we memorialize the death of Christ, our Savior. His blood paid the penalty for sins. But once we repent and are forgiven, then we must move forward and sin no more. That's the goal that we keep working toward. That's what God wants us to do. And this is a command that New Testament Christians are to keep the days of unleavened bread, with the understanding of the spiritual meaning this time. So we have the spiritual meaning as well now. God has given that. He's revealed that through his apostles and prophets. We know why to keep the days of unleavened bread. And it's to get the sin out of our lives. It's to help us get sin out of our lives and keep us in remembrance of that step in God's plan of salvation, that we need to be repenting and growing and changing and getting rid of sin. Notice Leviticus 23 and verse 6. It says, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the eternal. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So it's not enough to just get rid of the leaven. We specifically have to eat the unleavened. The correspondence course says, the Israelites were not merely to remove all leavening and leavened foods from their property. That would have only symbolized putting away sin. They were commanded to eat unleavened bread during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Eating unleavened bread symbolizes the opposite of sin, active obedience to God. And so the picture here is that we have to replace sin with righteousness. We have to replace sin with righteousness. It's not enough to just not sin. Then something else has to take its place. And that something else, of course, is the Holy Spirit of God, Christ coming in our flesh, living in us, his life in us through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Notice Romans 6 and verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Verse 13, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we have to let Christ be living in us so that we can serve God. We can use our physical bodies and these physical lives to serve God. That's what he wants for us. Verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." And so people can get confused on that passage sometimes and think that that means, well, that we don't have to keep the law anymore. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that when we obey the law, we're not under the penalty of it. We're under the forgiveness then of God because of Christ's sacrifice, because those sins are forgiven. But we're only forgiven when we repent. Verse 15, "What then?" Here's the question, right? "Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?" And the answer, God forbid. God forbid. Verse 16, "Know you not," don't you know this, he's saying, "that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Whatever our actions are, they show who we're obeying. The Course says Christ's death, pictured by Passover, paid the penalty for our sins, which is eternal death. You can see that in Romans 6 and verse 23. The days of unleavened bread, which immediately follow Passover, picture the next step in God's plan. The Christian putting away sin. After we accept Christ's sacrifice and are baptized, we are not to continue in sin. Rather, we are to reject sin and obey God's commandments. That's what we're to do. Reject sin and obey God's commandments. That's what the days of unleavened bread picture. Getting rid of sin, forsaking sin, and taking in the mind of God. Letting that mind be in us, that mind of Christ, through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Notice Revelation 18, verse 4. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying," again, "come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." We are to come out of this world, come out of sin, which sin is pictured by leaven and also Egypt. We are to come out of that. We are to put it away and take in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, right? That's what we need to be doing. Taking on that mind of Christ through the power of God's Holy Spirit. The Course says if we are to become spirit-born members of God's family, we must prove that we will obey God here and now. So this is our time to prove these things. We must prove that we will obey God here and now by striving to get the spiritual leaven of sin out of our lives and keep it out. This is our part in God's great master plan. That's our part in it. That's our part. Striving to get the spiritual leaven of sin out of our lives and to keep it out. The quote continues and says, "Hence, every spring, the seven-day feast of unleavened bread specially reminds spirit-begotten Christians of their continual need to keep God's commandments." We need to keep God's commandments. And so the days of unleavened bread are a time where we remember that. God wants us to remember every year that his commandments are so important, they're so vital, and that we need to get sin out of our lives and really strive to be obeying him and take on that mind of Christ. Take in that unleavened bread. And as it says, if we are to become spirit-born members of God's family, we have to prove right now in this life that we will obey God. That's what he is looking for, obedience. Obedience, just like his son obeyed him perfectly. Jesus Christ perfectly obeyed his father, and we are to take on that same attitude and take on that same mindset that Christ had, where he really obeyed God perfectly. And of course, we're not perfect yet, but we are striving to be that way. And more, year after year, when we keep these holy days, when we keep these days of unleavened bread, become closer and closer to perfection and live more and more like God the Father and Jesus Christ have lived for all eternity, and more keep the commandments of God. If you'd like more information on God's holy days, you can find that at thetrumpet.com. Pagan holidays or God's holy days, which? Also, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Please sign up for that. It's free, and it's at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.